back. Rita and Yesenia is back. Estamos de regreso. ¿Cómo está, Rita?
I'm good. I can't believe that it's May. We haven't recorded since October. Early October.
Yeah, Rita had been organizing, doing amazing work.
Me and you.
You know what? I think likeness attracts likeness. So we're both out there in the community doing great stuff, which is why we also took the pause.
Yeah.
I felt it was
I left the country.
Which is so amazing. That was beautiful. How was that, Rita?
It was great. I went back to Peru a little bit over a month and a half. And I think it was like the perfect amount, especially I hadn't been there since 2020, before the pandemic. So there was a lot, and it was just so sad. Like, really, I think South America and probably a lot of countries had been affected a lot by the pandemic. Like, infrastructure was worse than the last time I saw it. Oh, wow. Yeah, there were, immigration issues. There's, issues with how the country has responded to immigration. Mm. A lot of people from Venezuela has been able to find home in Peru. A lot of amazing people. But, there's the same type of right-wing theories or
propaganda
it's the same. You can see it in other countries too, where it's like, oh, they're gonna take your jobs, and it's like, no, dude, it's not the issue with
the divide and conquer.
The same thing. And so there's a lot of people who just have had a great experience with people from Venezuela, but those few that are really bad get magnified by right-wing media. And
it's the only way, I think, to divide and conquer people, right? You have to have someone to blame your misfortune on.
Yeah. Well, the government is just saying, the government's just not serving the people. It's a corrupt government. And it's just sad. Like, now, I feel like when I went in 2020, things looked a lot better than they ever did.
Wow.
And now going back, it was really shocking. I was able to get my mom a visa after she had been declined in the past. And so it's been like a 6-year process. And she got it. And now she's here in the U.S.
How long was that again, Rita?
6-year process.
So for those that might be listening who do not understand that whole process of quote unquote doing it the right way.
Do it the right way.
It's not easy, guys. No. Like, it takes time, energy,
money,
persistence,
privilege. Even because I had to use every single tool in my tool belt, and I had to be there with my mom with my American passport, pushing myself into like the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Peru, which I should be able to walk in no matter what.
Literally, I can see Rita just like pushing her way in.
Literally, and I had to use my privilege in that sense there to have some respect given to my mom, and who's older. And she didn't get rejected this time, and she got her visa.
You make a good point in the sense that I feel like a lot of people are complacent, and they think that, okay, this is the way it is, right? Like, you get in line for your appointment, and you just allow things to just flow. No, it's like, in situations like that, like, you really have to be assertive and be persistent, and actually even to a point where you are kind of now taking the reins to navigate that experience, because in the end of the day, it's not like you don't qualify for this, right? It's not like your mother doesn't qualify for it. So that's where I feel like I see that, whether it's Peru, the U.S.,
Mexico.
And so many things. Mexico is a prime example of that, too.
Yeah.
And when I hear you saying all these things about corruption and all of that, I'm also hearing Mexico. And I think that's why the political scene and what happens in the United States is so important, because countries take a page out of what's happening here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And what I'm realizing, too, tying it all in with what you're saying about immigrants coming into Peru from Venezuela, I'm seeing a lot of that rhetoric with the new immigrants coming to the U.S.
Yeah.
Where I have concerns, where I'm hearing some black leaders making really bold statements that is very mirroring to us against them. Why are these new immigrants coming into this country and they're getting cell phones, they're getting housing, food, education, all of these things set up. Meanwhile, black folks Black Americans were seeing, you know, living on the streets, mm-hmm. In poverty, mm-hmm. you know, ancestors built this country. Like, why is there that, why is there that demographic of changes, right? Yeah. And that's where it gets scary, Evita, that we have to really nip it in the bud when we hear that type of language, because it is concerning to me, right? I'm not saying that Black America isn't owed these things. I'm not saying that there aren't any issues. Mm-hmm. But the moment that we start saying why them and not us, that is very dangerous language.
Yeah, it's a scarcity mindset, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's not enough when there's actually plenty. We've seen how much the U.S. spends on, like, military, mm-hmm. how easy it is to move billions of dollars in and out of the country. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not that there's not money.
Right. It's in the way that it's being allocated, and I Barbara Lee is like a person that I love listening to, and she's like, you know, we should be having healthcare for all. We should be having free college, university for all. We should be having way more programs for housing.
There's money.
There is money.
There is so much money.
There is a lot of money, and then even for the state of California, you know, how much money is, I mean, obviously there's financial crisis right now for California, but I think we're going to bounce back. But it's the reality of that too. What I realized is that it doesn't take a lot of money to actually make projects happen. Yeah. In some ways it does, but then you look at the way that money's broken down to, and you look at the reality that if we, obviously housing is a big issue in our country, healthcare, college, and these are all real things that do impact the American people. But, you know, I would say don't forget who's making those decisions and the fact that they are one call away, mm-hmm. and ask. In all the work that I've done, Rita, with organizing, advocacy, trying to change things in the system, what I've come to find out is two things. Number one, no one's going to save you. No one is out there going to save us.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. You have to figure it out. Number two is the only accountability that exists in our political system is really the voter.
Yeah.
The voter and who holds accountability. Because even if you're in this country and you cannot vote, you can still hold accountability.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to keep people in mind, that just because you cannot vote does not mean that you cannot take up public comment, that you cannot pick up the phone and call that elected office, does not mean that you cannot send that email.
That you can't register voters to vote if you can't register yourself to vote yet. Yeah. Yeah, I was registering voters before I was able to vote, before I was a citizen, you know. There's like, but I understand there's a privilege to it. It's a privilege of how I got there, how I was able to do it, how the time that I had to do it. But yeah, there's no excuse for not participating. And if people, this is the thing that I would really like to talk about, is that people think that because they don't agree with a candidate right now, whatever, federal, Congress, whatever, they're just not gonna vote. And that is like the most simplistic, really lazy way to look at our system. And
I'm really glad you're bringing this up.
And taking the power away from yourself, because in the November ballot, there's going to be so many races. So many races we're going to have, from school board, city council, at the state level, federal level. We're going to have measures, president. Your ballot's going to be so big. And even if you don't want to vote for anything, the fact that you will get your ballot returned, even if it's empty, it will be counted as an undervote. Your dissatisfaction will actually be shown more by you returning that ballot. Skip whatever race you want. Don't vote in whatever race you want. Mm-hmm. Vote for whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But your dissatisfaction with the system will be noted more if you return your ballot. If you leave it on your countertop, That's not showing that you don't like the system. That's just showing you that you don't understand the system.
Thank you so much for saying that, Rita, because that's my biggest concern. There is so much dissatisfaction. I think on the national level, right, with the two candidates that we're looking at for president, and that is worrisome to me. And it feels like oftentimes when we talk about politics and we talk about candidates, it's like, who is the lesser of the two evils, right? Yeah. And obviously, things take time to create change.
Sure.
I think our generation is a beautiful generation. I had a really great conversation with a friend talking about politics. Them not wanting to no longer participate because of the dissatisfaction. And I said, no, we have to be involved. Yeah. Like, either we're in the system and we're part of working the system to what we think is right.
Yeah.
Because if we bail out, then we create that non-working system,
yeah.
right? So I hope that people do vote. I hope you do vote for what you feel is the better president, because what's the reality is, the presidential election is going to dictate a lot. It's,
yeah.
it's going to decide a lot of different factors yeah. of this country,
yeah.
which I think we're in a very interesting point in history for the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And to be real, like, California has very little power on who the president gets to be, right? Because of the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. So we're actually, as Californians, in a very privileged position to utilize or vote to show dissatisfaction with maybe other parts that we do have more power into. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive. We don't have power to select a president as much as we could ever, no matter who's on the ballot. But we have power over other types of races, and mm-hmm. we should not skip voting for any reason. Not because you cannot elect the president, but use it to show your support or dissatisfaction for the other mm-hmm. ones. Like, Congress, it's a big one mm-hmm. for me. Like, state level 2 representatives, there's a lot that is decided at the state level, and you can show who you're supporting, you mm-hmm. know? So if you don't want to vote because you don't like the presidential options and you're in California, like, don't even worry about it, because your vote really doesn't matter that
but
much.
But you should still vote.
There are other races,
I hope,
yeah.
because the reality is yeah. that I think what kind of scares me, Rita, is the idea that we could have a Donald Trump again. Even
yeah.
if you're in California, right, I think
yeah.
there has to be that unity of realizing yeah. where we're at.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel that, because a lot of people focus on the presidential election.
Yeah.
Take a step back. If you don't understand why your local city council, your local school board,
yeah.
which is 2 hot tickets, learn why.
Yeah.
There are very passionate people out there right
yeah.
now that are trying to make sure that the demographics of your local city council and school board looks a certain way.
Yeah.
That things happen a certain way.
Yeah.
That things happen so that certain funding can be spent this way and not
yeah,
that way.
Exactly.
And so if you feel like, okay, I'm not happy on the national level, then focus on the local level. That's
yeah.
why I personally
that's,
love
for
local
California,
politics.
Yeah, for California,
that's
a ballot.
That's where you're going to
yeah.
feel it. That's
yeah.
where it's going to hurt the most.
Yeah, for Californians, or ballot, it's a local ballot. It's not so much a federal ballot. I mean, it does when it comes to Congress. But other than that, it's a local ballot for us in California. And if you are like pumped up and you're like, no, I actually want to have an impact at the federal level, join go to mobilize.us and join those phone banks, those campaigns
mm-hmm.
for other states
yeah.
like Pennsylvania,
Arizona, Texas
all those that end like Florida
mm-hmm.
All those that end up being those swing states, like, that's
Nevada
where you get
big
yeah.
one.
Nevada,
yeah,
take that energy there. But if you're feeling like, oh, I don't even, I'm just listening to this because whatever, but you're kind of interested in politics, see your ballot, and you're in California, see your ballot as a local ballot
yeah.
more than anything.
Ask the questions, do your research,
yeah.
get involved.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be candidates who will need your support,
yes.
whether it's canvassing, donating money. Honestly,
yeah.
you don't even have to donate a whole lot of money. It could literally be
$5. $5, yeah. Yeah, it adds up. I'm speaking from this point because I am, like, since we last recorded, like, I have become really dissatisfied
mm-hmm.
with the system, and I think we were talking, like, the system obviously was not built for people of color, for minorities,
mm-hmm.
for those that are, you know, actually needing the help to be represented, but I think that I'm not seeing my ballot as a presidential ballot
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah.
I'm
I think there's a lot of people like you, Rita. I think there's a lot of big issues happening in our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to respect where people are coming from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, November is going to be a big thing in our country.
Yeah.
You know, what you're commenting on the bureaucracy and the systems that be. I'm also a believer that it's easier to hold accountability when you say, hey, look, I supported you. I supported you. Yeah. And now because I supported you, this is what I expect, yeah. right? I need to have a meeting with you,
yeah.
With a staff or with someone, even if it is with the local party,
yeah.
Because the reality is a lot of these candidates or politicians or elected officials don't mm-hmm. act alone, yeah. right? So obviously it would be hard to ask for a meeting for President Biden, but if you mm-hmm. probably ask for a meeting with the state, you know, California Democrats, that might yeah. be a good thing to do, yeah. right? And say, hey, you know what? Like, what's going on over here?
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, there's probably only like two people in between you and, you know, someone that mm-hmm. holds that power. So one or two people. So go out there and make your reps accountable. And I think something that I've realized too, and kind of includes politicians, but also outside of politicians and representatives, is just like a lot of it's just relational, right? Like mm-hmm. you have to build those relationships mm-hmm. to be able to have those hard conversations and be accountable to mm-hmm. some, like, your beliefs and someone else's beliefs. Like, keep them accountable, keep your friends mm-hmm. accountable. But if you don't have those relationships, like mm-hmm. you don't even have a channel of communication, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. you don't always have to agree 100% with someone mm-hmm. else when you're having those conversations, and that might not be the goal, but mm-hmm. maybe understanding where they're coming from, even if you end mm-hmm. up disagreeing with even that origin of mm-hmm. those beliefs, you know, when.
Yeah, and I think that's really powerful, Rita, because that's the reason why people don't want to be engaged in politics.
Yeah.
Because it is relational, right? Yeah. You have to have some sort of connection.
Yeah.
There's certain things that are transactional in politics and certain
a
things
lot
that
of
are
things. A lot of people do.
but I think that's the soft spot where it's like, I think that you have, when I hear you say relational, like, I think of you. Relational is, I also think of myself in the sense that I was just in Sacramento last week, or I think it was last week. We were out there with Hope and...
was that Latina Action Day?
Yeah, Latina Action Day. And
Sacramento making
Sacramento.
Moves.
And that's, you know, when you say relational, it's like at the end of the day, and Hope stands for Hispanas Organized for Political Equality, Hope. Mm-hmm. And they do a Latina Action Day. It's an event they host every year. And that's what it's about, Rita, is that, for example, and this is where Rita and I align in the sense that we do care about health access for BIPOC folks, yeah. for low-income marginalized. We care about education equity. Mm-hmm. We care about representation. And those were the three big points that was talked about at the Hope mm-hmm. event. And so taking it a step further, after you go to that Latina Action Day, you actually get to go to representatives and knock on their door and talk to them directly or talk to their staff.
What?
So we got to talk about those things, which are all very personal to me. And I got to talk about personal experiences.
Did you go with Mujeres de Acción?
Yes. And nice. We talked about breast cancer, which is one of our biggest issues. We talked about representation because we don't have a lot of representation
yeah.
for Latinx. We don't have access to healthcare still. And then one of the really awesome parts that I really appreciated about them, Rita, is that they focused on the undocumented population. Mm. So even though these are folks that may be shy to advocate, mm-hmm. may feel intimidated, cannot vote, do not feel safe, they us as a social responsibility to still advocate for that.
Yeah.
And so it was just really great in that relationship building to recognize that, you know, I'm going to go to my representative's door, knock on them. They weren't there. I'm going to leave the packet and still let them know, hey, by the way, I made my donation. And then funny story was literally I ran into a few of them later on that weekend
yeah.
at another thing. And it was once again tugging at them saying, hey, like,
yeah.
you know, we still are concerned about what's happening at our yeah. local school district. You know, we have parents that are involved. We have yeah. pending issues that we still need to address. And it really goes back on that because I think it is easy to feel frustrated and feel upset and to want to point fingers and put blame. But all in this work, that's like, you look at women's reproductive rights. How long have women been showing up for this issue? How long have we been talking about this? Yeah. Like, these are all ongoing issues that you have to wonder, And I love seeing the older women saying, I still have to show up for this. I still have to protest for this, right? And it should make you wonder, like, why are the systems, why are the powers that be pushing that narrative, right? Yeah. So if you get mad and not participate, it is better for them.
Yeah, you're doing other people a favor that have understood the system. And I battle with this because part of me, and I think it's fine to point fingers. It's fine to feel the blame. Those are all the steps that you have to go through.
Do all of that
because I'm the same way. Like, I feel like this person could be doing more. This person could be doing more. Like, but I also understand from being sometimes in those positions, like, it is not easy, but that doesn't mean that you still should be holding people accountable and that you should be questioning it and helping educate. Because honestly, a lot of it, especially in the last six, 7 months, it's just a lack of education, a lack of connection from our communities, and that we just have not been able to hold different truths at the same time, to speak for different people at the same time, to break out of binaries. And that just has been a very good x-ray of where we are as a society. And
but I think that's the difference. Learn. But I think that's the difference of, like, the older generation to us. That we can recognize why people are being held back.
Yes.
We can tie it back.
Yeah.
To, okay, where's campaign money coming from? Yeah. I'm going to say it, the democratic machine.
But how do we see it? It's because we have had to be involved in it, right? If you're not involved in it, you just won't see it. And you will continue believing the things that other generations keep telling us.
Yeah, and that's, like, one thing, because I've been navigating. If you listen to a lot of our podcasts, I've spoken a lot about the Paso Robles School District. And lately, I'm kind of in the tail end of the big issue of our pending Office of Civil Rights complaint. And I get asked, if you would have known what you know now, would you have still gone involved? Mm-hmm. Personally, no, I would not have gotten involved. Not that I regret burning bridges, because I do also feel like if people are mad at you because you speak your truth, then those are not the people that I want in my life. Yeah, we're not aligned in our ethics, and I'm okay with that. But there was just, it was just so toxic and so negative, and it just takes away. I think when you immerse yourself in an issue,
and it's personal
in the sense that you're passionate because you care about the redlining a whole community, and you see that, and you see it because you're so involved with the community.
Yeah.
And the reality too is that what makes it hard is that you, for me, even though I didn't know what I was getting myself into, those 4 years of work, like, no one could have, I could not have learned that from a textbook. Exactly. I could not have read that in a newspaper
someone
article.
Someone couldn't have told you.
I could not have gotten what I know now. Mm-hmm. Like, I can tell you about people. I can tell you about systems. Mm-hmm. I can tell you about organizing. I can tell you specifically on this date. I can tell you so many things that you cannot gain from not being engaged.
Yeah.
And only then do we understand why the system of education is failing children, right? And so then hopefully we can take a perspective outside and say, okay, what am I going to do with this information?
Yeah.
Do I take this information and I bring it up to my representative, Congressman Jimmy Panetta? Do I bring this to Senator Laird's office?
Yeah. It's like extra effort on you.
But they also need to know, right? Yeah. Because part of me feels that it's like we didn't go through hell and back just to say it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what keeps me going, Rita, is that I still, even in the midst of all this bureaucracy and all of this systems not working, I still believe that we can have a breakthrough. I still believe we can do better. I still believe and the elections, because for me, having a background of my family from being from Mexico, I know what elections are like over there. Yeah. You know, day of elections, people are out there literally offering you 300 pesos to go vote for them. You know, they're promise you being big things, and it's corrupt.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you start speaking a little bit too loud about a politician, you're running the risk of being killed. Right.
Yeah.
Here we still have some sort of political freedom.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, and I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't issues here, but it's a lot better than what it is for the home country.
Yeah, yeah, for your neighbor country, right? Just mm-hmm. like across the border, the thing that it could get that bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it kind of goes back to that immigration point too, where unless you're in it, and I think it's the same with every issue, like if you, unless you're Palestinian, you just don't know what's happening. Unless you live in Israel, you just don't know what's happening. Unless you are a Black American, you just don't know how bad it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just have to believe in those lived experiences and hold different truths at the same time, because mm-hmm. it's really bad. And I think that has been just a problem with white America. It just has not gone through so many issues. You know, if you're white and Christian and you mm-hmm. were born in the U.S. and you speak English and you have had access to education, you have not been part of a city that has been redlined, like mm-hmm. it's, you just won't understand the issue mm-hmm. and you now have to have someone translate it to you. And if mm-hmm. you get that privilege of listening to someone that has had that lived experience, just listen, just shut up and listen.
But that's so sad, Rita, that we're asking for something just so simple. And that's the thing, right? Like, Rita's not saying we want this or we want like a byproduct. We're just asking you for something basic that is just listening. And I would take it a step further, Rita. Listen with an open heart and open mind.
Yes.
And not let it really resonate. Yeah. Yeah, not to respond, yes. Not to be on the defense, not to make you a villain, right?
Yeah.
Because I often want to hear that argument, yeah, of why people are fighting against ethnic studies at our high schools, right? It's because we don't want to put this like shame or blame or all these things. And which is kind of wild to me that people go straight to that,
yeah,
instead of understanding of like, how can we make, yeah, a right if we're not honoring people's lived experiences?
Yeah. Ethnic studies, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
But I mean, when you look at the reality, though, of ethnic studies, of realizing there's a whole history, not,
yeah,
just of Latinos,
yeah,
not just of Black folks,
yeah,
but queer, cool, folks, Asians,
yeah,
all these other stories, and,
yeah,
you start recognizing that getting pinned against each other has been a system that has worked, and we can't do that anymore.
That is so true. That alone, yeah.
Rita's big
mind. My mind is like, yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're back in the groove of things.
Yeah.
We're back in the recording.
We've
let you guys have a little break from us, and hopefully you've been cultivating your own thoughts, and hopefully we'd love to hear,
yeah,
from you to say what has been on your heart, on your mind, what is frustrating.
Yeah.
Let us know if you're getting involved in a local election. Perhaps,
yeah,
you're even running for something. We would,
yeah,
love to give you a shout out.
Yeah.
We have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. And there's just so much good work to still be done. And I think that,
yeah,
was like a prime example for me and Rita, that Rita and myself, we've been doing a lot of community work, doing a lot of great things, which is also part of my reason of not wanting to rush into recording either. Because,
mm,
I really felt there was some really great stuff happening in the community.
Mm.
That it's like, let's marinate in that and really still like bask in that goodness, because,
yeah,
all of that is healing to us.
Yeah. And I think we've learned after a couple years of recording, December, January, and February are just,
yeah,
not great months. They're just busy for us. So we should just like take a hint now,
yeah,
and be like, okay, let's just stop recording by November,
yeah,
the latest.
You know, I think for us, we're both very ambitious.
Busy too. It gets so
busy. We're both very ambitious women that I feel like if there's one big takeaway, is like, how do we take care of one another?
Yeah.
And sometimes taking care of one another means we're not recording.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do. I honestly wish that was it for me. I've been with like a stomach bug for like weeks,
uh-huh,
like dealing with stomach bug in my house,
uh-huh,
being out of the country, being catching up with work. It's just, yeah, We're surviving here.
No, yeah. No, it's like, I was telling Rita, she was asking me, you know, what's going on with me. And it's like, I feel like a Monday to Friday is, feels like that rat race of just trying to get to the job, send out those emails, make sure you return the phone calls, make sure you're not dropping the ball, make sure you have groceries so at least you have something
you're
to eat.
You're not dropping too many balls.
Right. making sure that, you know, the cat is fed, you know, just like, oh man, it's like, oh, I need to change the kitty litter, you know, like, and then the weekend comes and it's like, whew, I get to sleep in maybe for an extra hour and then, you know, trying to catch it all up for Monday. Here we are.
Yeah. And then you add that a kid that brings like all these diseases from daycare.
Shout out to the parents. You guys are amazing.
Yeah. I feel like for parents, like, weekends are usually harder than weekdays.
Yeah, because you have to have
you have to take
this little person.
All of this.
He's like, Mom, I'm hungry. Breakfast needs to be ready by 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm on my routine.
And it's this whole day. Yeah. You don't rest. I remember before I had a kid, I would ask my coworkers, like, how was your weekend? You know, to, like, parents. And I feel like going back. You know, back into time, just slapping myself and saying, shut up. Like, you just don't know. Stop asking parents how their weekend went.
Funny
you know?
Story about Rita is when her and her partner had their baby, I ran into them. And Rita, before having a baby, was not a morning person.
No, I hate
and
mornings.
I remember, like, running into them, and you, both of you look like zombies. Like, you guys look bad.
Yeah,
like, it was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary. I was worried for you guys.
I look at pictures, and I'm like, whoa. I was dragged through postpartum.
It was not good for Rita. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. Damn, having a baby is really hard. I don't have children, so
it's so hard.
I was
and postpartum in the U.S. Man, yeah, it's hard.
Maybe we talk about that in the next episode. To be continued, guys.
We're back.
Yes.
Bye.